Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website. Plus, there is also a Facebook group called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I say this every week, but I really do mean it. It's not just a formality. I want your emails. I want your social media engagement. I really want your feedback on the show so I can ensure that I am serving the body of Christ in a way that is strengthening your faith life. So always feel welcome to share your thoughts with me about this ministry of mine. As for my ministry moment for this episode, maybe I'm influenced by living in Tampa Bay and having 43-year-old Tom Brady as the quarterback of our Buccaneers, but you hear stories like that in sports of, say, a rookie playing on a team with a veteran who is, for all intents and purposes, a legend, or maybe they're a league MVP. You hear about their admiration for that star player, and in some cases how they actually grew up watching in awe as that career developed and a superstar played out on TV game in and game out. Similarly, we will hear about guys who get drafted or signed or traded to a team that has such a top athlete on it, and they'll talk with great admiration about getting to play with instead of against that player. It almost borders on idolatry, and fans need to be wary of not falling into that as well. In our faith life, we know that that's something we are warned against through the Bible, and in fact, in the Old Testament, we hear in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6 says, quote, "Say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, return, turn away from your idols, from all your abominations, turn your faces," end quote. Brothers and sisters, we can appreciate the great success of high-profile athletes, but as I've cited so many times as a pillar of my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest grew up playing hockey and football, including competing in the latter sport for 4 years at William Penn University in Iowa, where he helped his team win a conference championship and broke the NAIA national rushing record. He went on to coach the offensive line at Dakota State University before going on to his current position as head football coach of Pierre T.F. Riggs High School. Plus, he is head coach of the Owyhee Capitals High School hockey team. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Steve Steele.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bruce. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about our faith today.
You bet. You bet. So, without looking it up, Steve, I'm thinking you might be the first Catholic Sports Radio guest who's in South Dakota, although that's more than 1,000 miles from where you grew up. Share with the audience about your early years.
Yeah, you know, I think my family's kind of been born to move away. You know, my dad grew up about 8 hours away from where he was born, and my mom grew up in Tonga, a little country on the Pacific, or out in the Pacific Ocean, and then moved all the way to Michigan. So, you know, growing up in Freeland, Michigan, you know, both my parents, you know, I was a cradle Catholic, you know, really brought up well in the faith. You know, I'm very blessed to have the parents that I do have, and for their, you know, not just their teachings, but their example, you know, their love for each other and for our family was just something that, you know, I couldn't have asked for anything better growing up. You know, I was baptized, but we attended St. Agnes Parish in Freeland, and Father Larry Pashek was the priest pretty much as long as I could remember. You know, I know we had one before I can remember that actually baptized me, but Father Larry was the one that confirmed me and gave me my first communion in second grade, and was there right until, I think, right when I graduated, he died. Mm. You know, he was a very, very large influence on my life as well. And I've got one brother and one sister, John and Tanya, and they both are married. John lives in Arizona, and Tanya still lives back home in Freeland.
Nice, nice. By the way, listeners, this is a first for Catholic Sports Radio. We actually have a giveaway, so stay with me throughout this episode. And at the end of the interview with Steve Steele, I will give you the details about that before our closing prayer. Steve, the audience is going to hear what a devout Catholic you are. So explain to me then why you said in the lead up to today that after having gone to public school through eighth grade, transitioning to Catholic high school was, quote, a very hard decision to make, but one of the best of my life.
You know, it was a really tough situation. You know, I mean, I'm the significant youngest of my family. You know, my brother's 12 years older than me and my sister's 8 years older than me. And both of them had attended our local public high school in Freeland for their whole careers. And, you know, my sister was a really, she was the valedictorian of her class. And, you know, it was just, once you've lived in a community for so long, you know, our family, that everyone just kind of expects you to stay there and expects you to do things. And, you know, I was obviously very involved with athletics my whole life. And, you know, same with academics, you know, and being a good student. And it was just challenging to leave, you know, that local community more than it was. You know, it wasn't necessarily difficult. Going to the Catholic school wasn't the hard part.
I see.
You're still, it's a little intimidating having new friends and having to find that new social group and go through all that. But it was a lot harder to leave behind, you know, that hometown and kind of feel like you're abandoning your hometown at the same time.
I see. So the tough decision was leaving what you already knew, but the reason it was the best decision was because it was an opportunity to spend more time in the faith.
It was, you know, and it really changed everything. You know, I mean, going from, you know, in the public school where you don't have those formal education classes in your faith, you know, to really digging deeper and being inspired by a lot of my Catholic subject matter teachers, you know, and really learning a lot more about the Catholic faith. And you know, on top of that, I think that was really one of the first moments that I can clearly remember that we were, or at least personally, I was stepping aside and saying, okay, this is what I'm feeling God wants me to do. So I'm going to do it, even though, you know, in all reality, I don't know that I'm overly comfortable with it yet. But, you know, I've got to trust him and do what I think he's wanting me to do.
Wow. Wow. So sticking with those high school years, talk about what you did with elementary school students at that point in your life.
You know, I think everywhere, maybe not everywhere, but, you know, there's always that struggle in a lot of parishes to find people to teach religious education, you know, for those elementary grades, you know, and I was in high school and, you know, our Catholic high school, we put a very large premium on doing community service, you know, and being involved in the community and in your own parishes. And, you know, I thought that was a way for me to really do that. And then also to see, you know, I'd kind of considered education as a career. And that was something that I figured I could try out and see how I liked it. And I just had such a great time with those kids and really hoping to instill a lot was instilled into me, you know, from the high school and really continuing to learn more about the Catholic faith, you know, I mean, and obviously, you know, I took so much from my parents, but, you know, learning a lot more and going even further in depth at the school really just kept me wanting more. And then being able to teach religious ed to the elementary school kids helped me be able to pass that on and then hopefully build that excitement in that generation as well.
I like it. I like it. It was also in high school that you were coaching youth hockey, which you continued throughout college. And you refer to that as having found a calling.
Yeah, you know, obviously the education aspect of things, you know, and trying to teaching out was a possible career. And you know, being as involved in sports as I was growing up, I mean, you know, football and hockey were my main sports. But, you know, I'd played basketball. I'd played baseball. I'd played some tennis. I'd played a bunch of different things. But, you know, I mean, the main two that I stuck with obviously were football and hockey. But, you know, once I started to coach, I mean, that was just, it was just like everything clicked. It was like, man, this is what I'm meant to do. This is, you know, you can see how you can inspire kids and how you can really teach kids lessons in life, you know, as opposed to just lessons in one subject that you might get to teach in a classroom. And you know, it was just kind of where it all came together. And, you know, I'd obviously consulted a lot of my former coaches, you know, in the same thing of, you know, like, well, hey, why do you do this? And, you know, obviously they like to win. They like the competition aspect. And, you know, so do I. But there's not a whole lot of professions that are like coaching, you know, where you can really use genuine excitement and really find a way to further passions in these kids and teach them a lot about life.
Outstanding. Outstanding. A few weeks ago on episode 89, we heard Joe Reich, yes, the brother of Indianapolis Colts head coach Frank Reich, say that he, meaning Joe, was vice president of the FCA chapter in college. Steve, you have a FCA story as well.
Yeah, you know, when I got the job at Dakota State University out here in Madison, South Dakota, there really wasn't an active FCA chapter there. And, you know, that was something that I participated in college. You know, it wasn't a Catholic college that I went to, but, you know, it was a Christian faith-based university. So we did have an FCA program and I was involved in it there. So, you know, once I got to Dakota State, I thought that was something that was missing. you know, and we didn't have that opportunity to really get together. I mean, we had some stuff with the football team, but we didn't have anything with all the rest of the sports. So, you know, we were able to get it going and start doing some service projects and meeting every week, you know, and it was a lot of fun to, again, just to continue to hopefully build that excitement, build the passion for not just sports and not just school, but, you know, ultimately for the Lord.
Fantastic. And what I really like about that is that's strictly volunteer. Correct me if I'm wrong. So to show your passion for what it did, but to show your passion for your faith by saying, I know there's no financial reward in it. I just know there's so much more to be gained from it that I'm not worried about it being a volunteer thing.
Yeah. And, you know, the most fun parts of doing those are, you know, when you can get all those kids in that maybe don't exactly have a huge faith life, you know, those ones that are coming in to kind of try it out and then to kind of see. And when you can get those kids really excited and wanting to come back and understanding that, you know, life's about what you can do for others and how you can express love to others and do all those things. I mean, that was always our favorite project, was to go down to the Veterans Hospital and to really talk Christmas with them and, you know, and hear their faith stories is just a crazy thing, because, you know, hearing it from a person who's not really that much older than you might not make a huge difference to you, but going and listening to someone who's in their 70s or in their 80s really talk about how it got them to the point of living where they are, it changed so many lives. And you know, I'm just very thankful that we were able to do so.
That's great. Listeners, I mentioned episode 89 with Joe Reich. If you go all the way back to episode 4 of Catholic Sports Radio, Mike Candrea, who coached the gold medal winning U.S. women's softball team at the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens, he talked about what kind of message we're sending when we tell student athletes that there's practice or games or a tournament on Sundays, when at the same time, we're trying to teach the importance of going to church and prioritizing our faith. Steve Steele actually is doing something consistent with what Coach Candrea was talking about. But before I have Steve go into that, each week in the middle of the show, I remind you that this is my ministry, but that I'm also just one person doing it, booking all the guests, doing all the writing, recording, editing of the shows, doing all the promotion and administrative work and so on. And you hear me saying that I don't have any sponsors, nor do I draw any kind of income from doing this. So unfortunately, all the expenses have to come out of my own pocket. I've also tried to be transparent in sharing with you many of the costs that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio. Since we're at the beginning of a new month, I just saw the $20 get charged to me that hits on the first of every month just for the podcast hosting company fee alone. So I would be most grateful if you would consider supporting me and my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. There's an extremely convenient and secure way to do that, which is through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Alternatively, you can just email me personally, Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will write you back with an address that you can mail a check to. Either way, the help is greatly, greatly appreciated and does sure help me with the various costs that I have cited over, unfortunately, too many episodes of this show. And as I've pointed out before, you can contribute in whatever amount you are comfortable with. There are no predetermined amounts to choose from or even a minimum donation. You put in whatever you want when you use the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And if you wish, I will even give you a public thank you on an upcoming episode of the show or on social media, or of course, as others have chosen to do, just remain anonymous. Do please pray about it. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. It all helps me with being able to continue on with this ministry and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Steve, go ahead and share with the audience about what I was starting to refer to just before talking about donations, where I said you can relate to what Coach Candrea had said back on episode 4 of this show.
You know, I mean, it's always one really tough thing when you get in the coaching business, you know, obviously winning is so important and everyone wants, you know, in order to be prepared to win, you've got to watch film and you've got to prepare the kids and you've got to do all these things. And, you know, it's very uncommon for a lot of people to not work, you know, or not have these coaching meetings or player meetings or anything like that on the weekends. And, you know, I really felt on my heart when we moved here that, you know, we can't do that. You know, all of our coaching staff, every single coach on our team's got a family, you know, and every time we give so much during the week in time to, you know, to go to practice. You can't not have practice. And, you know, you obviously got to go to the games. And, you know, we just felt that, you know, hey, we can take care of our own stuff on the weekends. You know, let's not meet. Let's not let the kids come in on the weekend. Let's let them be with their families and be with their friends and be kids. And, you know, and I just think it's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you know, we've got our coaches are ready to go on Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone still has some stuff to get done, obviously, on the weekends. It's not like we don't watch film. But, you know, not having the, you know, we are doing this and it's on this schedule. It's, you know, hey, you guys go be with your families, be great husbands, you know, be great fathers. Go out there and have fun with your kids. If your kids have games, you know, the youth games and all that, go to your games, be active in their lives. And, you know, whether you stay up a little late or get up a little early, or, you know, for me, my kids are young where it's nap time and, you know, find a way to pound out some film, you know, when you've got a little bit of downtime on the weekend. But just again, trying to recognize that we're all in a little bit of different family situations and life situations. And, you know, there's not one time of day on a weekend that's perfect. So, you know, really focusing on the fact that, hey, we all have families and that's got to be our primary job. And, you know, we're all big boys. We can find a way to still be prepared for football on Monday, even if we don't come in all weekend.
I got to ask, I'm curious, once you implemented that, I don't want to say parents who didn't get it, but did you get some pushback from people who said, hey, these kids, they got to be practicing, they got to be playing games. What do you mean nothing on the weekend? Or was it widely embraced?
I mean, I think it's obviously a little easier for the coaches to embrace it because they feel that freedom and they feel that empowerment to be on their own schedule and, you know, not have to worry about, hey, well, how am I going to get to my kid's game if we're meeting, or how am I going to get to go do this? And, you know, I think the parents' side, I mean, they're, you know, it's the other very humbling aspect, I think, of the coaching profession is that no matter how good you do, you're going to have people that disagree, that don't like. No matter how bad you do, you're going to have people that like what you're doing. And, you know, I think that's, you know, you've got to look back to Jesus to realize that, you know, people weren't all that happy with his decisions that he made too. And he obviously, he's the one that we need to be following in terms of making decisions. And, you know, if we were to just go for the popular decision, then, you know, chances are we're not doing what he wants us to do. So, you know, that's kind of the basis on it. But,
I love it.
You know, we really try to focus inward on what we need to be doing to continue to do the good work and not on the noise that's out there.
I love it. I love it. One thing I want to make sure that the audience understands is that neither Pierre T.F. Riggs High School nor Owyhee High School are Catholic institutions. So, Steve, as a good and faithful servant, you are challenged with having to find ways to try to bring Christ into the lives of student athletes who, by and large, are likely not Catholic.
Yeah, and we've got a fair share. You know, we do see a lot of them in church, and, you know, I do think that the most important way that we can minister is by setting a great example. You know, and that's first and foremost. You know, you can say all the words that you want to say, but when you do something and the kids see it, that's what really sets it home. You know, and you know, my kids are at practice a good amount, at least until the weather, not so much this last week where it was snowing and windy and cold, but, you know, trying to have our kids at practice being involved and to let our kids or let our players see us be dads, you know, and be husbands and see us doing what we're supposed to be doing with our family, because, you know, obviously we want our players to realize that they're important to us too, but we've also want them to realize that they're not going to be as important as our family. Our family's got to be more important. And, you know, if we can set that example for them now, then someday when they have kids, then hopefully that continues on and they're able to go and do that same thing that we've been doing. And, you know, obviously being in the public school, you know, you're supposed to somewhat be careful what you say. You're supposed to do a lot of that stuff. And a lot of the stuff that we do is just, you can kind of get away with some of it, if that's the right way of saying it, by not making things mandatory. And you know, a lot of the stuff that we do, it's not necessarily mandatory, but the kids want it, you know, and as long as the kids want it, then it makes us feel like we're doing what we're doing for the right reasons and we're doing it correctly. And, you know, we're far from perfect. You know, we've got a long ways to go. And, you know, that's certainly one thing that's tough, because, you know, you can say the wrong thing and be done. But at the same point, it goes back to trusting that, you know, if that does happen, if we say something and we get hammered for it and we all are gone, then, you know, obviously he's going to provide, he's going to give us something else that we're supposed to be doing.
Outstanding. Outstanding. With the hockey team that you coach, they had won the quarterfinal game at the state tournament before COVID canceled the rest of the tournament. Talk about how you helped the student athletes deal with that roller coaster ride, that disappointment.
Yeah, that's something ingrained in my brain that, you know, I'll never forget. We'd won the first round game, and I think it was the first time in 4 years we'd won that first round game. Mm. And we all went to Buffalo Wild Wings after our game to celebrate. And I was right about when we were getting ready to leave that we'd actually gotten the call that the tournament was being canceled, and that the season was over. And just it was kind of a crazy scene, just right outside the parking lot of Buffalo Wild Wings in the middle of March, and seeing a whole bunch of high school kids. You know, we had eight seniors that had played their last game without ever knowing it. And, wow. It seems like such a small thing, when you just think about it, it's a game, but it's so much more than that to these kids. And, they are such a family. I mean, I think that was the proud part from the coaching side coming out, was just seeing that the kids were genuinely mostly upset that they didn't get to play another game with their friends and this family that had been created over the few months. And, again, just kind of realizing that, hey guys, life goes on, we're going to be okay, and no one's going to be able to take away this family. This family continues on as long as we all stay together and continue on together, and just realizing that, guys, just because the season's over doesn't mean we don't care about you anymore. It doesn't mean that we're going to say, all right, well, let's hand in our stuff and we'll never see you again. All the kids know that, hey, anything you guys need, you guys all have our cell phone numbers. When you guys are off in college doing great things, and it's a humbling thing, at that point in time, and it's a very difficult thing for high school kids to deal with. But yeah. It's something that, again, I don't think that we need to be dealing with alone. It's obviously gone on for a long time, and I think that having that team and that family to help everybody through those moments was absolutely crucial.
What a great message, though. I love the way you handled that, and it's very consistent. Everything that you're doing, you're showing the same Coach Steele to these kids in every facet of the different things that you're doing. And then extending it back over to your faith life, share with the audience about what you do every day while you work out, speaking of consistency.
Yeah. My dad has always been a huge runner. He's always been a runner, and I always joked with him growing up and going into college that I was never going to be a runner, and I never wanted to run, and I tried to keep the lifting game going as long as I could, and then on the other hand, my mom starts every single day with a rosary. Every single day she wakes up, and that's the first thing she does. And now that I've got kids, where I'm pretty preoccupied with them as soon as they're up and stuff, so I've tried to really focus on waking up at five or a little before and doing both in running or working out in some fashion, and then saying a rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet every morning. And I don't work out every morning. On the days that I don't, some mornings I try to just wake up early enough to say the rosary and Divine Mercy, but I still honestly don't really enjoy running. But again, it's a sacrifice, it's a sacrifice for keeping a healthy body. And much in the same way that when I do stuff, when I try to work out, obviously I like listening to music, but being able to say a rosary and a Divine Mercy is still another way to try and focus on keeping that spirit healthy as well, and just again trying to be that holistic feeling of holistic health, and making sure that I'm taking care of myself, because it's very hard to take care of a family and be the husband I need to be, and the father I need to be, and the coach and teacher I need to be if I'm not a healthy me. And that hasn't always been the case. So that's been another constant struggle that we've had to continue to work and pray through, but we're getting there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So obviously, audience, we can all get an appreciation for how busy Steve is with football and with hockey. But I thought it would be fitting as the final question, Steve, to have you just share with the audience about the value that you put on family time.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. Coaching, especially coaching multiple sports, because anyone who's been involved in sports knows that parents have a lot of questions at times, and kids have a lot of questions at times, and it's been a hard thing to get people to realize that, hey, after supper I put my phone's gone. If it's an absolute emergency, then call and call and call, and eventually if I see the same name coming up, I'll understand it's emergency. But I put my phone away, and that's my time to spend and be the husband I need to be, and be the father I need to be. And I'm very, very protective of family time. We're not, my family, we don't go out and do very many things, as far as going to a show, or we don't really go out to the bar or go out anywhere. just because, again, our number one most important thing is together. You know, we want to do as much as we can together. You know, time is the one resource that you can't earn more of. You know, I mean, if you need extra money, you can go find an odd job to do. If you need to find something else, you can go out and get it, but you can't ever get time back. So, you know, that's the number one thing that's important to us, is to try and soak up every minute that we can get together. And, you know, obviously our kids don't get any younger, which is crazy to see, you know, how much our son's grown from year to year. So we are very protective of it. And, you know, we just try and enjoy every last second that we get together.
Well, and I want the audience to know, and I pray that this is not the case, but there are doubting Thomases out there, unfortunately. So if anyone's listening and says, it's really admirable that this guy puts this much time into his family life and he puts such a priority on his family, I bet you his teams aren't that good, I want to come to Steve's defense and say, 42-13, they've won, that's the one loss record, 42-13 for the football team. They've won the 2017, 2018, 2019 state championships. You heard before on the hockey side that they were in the state tournament. They won the quarterfinal game before COVID shut things down. So Steve, God bless you for that approach. It's obviously a winning formula that you have put together. And I just want to say continued best wishes to you and the teams that you're coaching, and God bless you and your family. I appreciate you making time for Catholic Sports Radio.
You know, thank you so much, Bruce, for letting me come on and talk a little bit. And, you know, if I could leave one word with everybody, you know, I just be courageous. You know, it's a tough thing, and it's a really hard world, I think, that we're living in right now. But, you know, I don't think it's harder than the world Jesus was in. And, you know, I think we've got to really focus on and just being courageous and trusting that he's going to make it right one way or another, whether or not it's the way we want it. That doesn't really matter. You know, and it's a hard thing to do, to let go. And, but I really think that we're better for it when we do.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, listeners, I said earlier that for the first time we have a giveaway. The National Catholic Coaches Association has donated a copy of their book called The Leadership Papers for me to give away. You've heard a couple guests from the NCCA on Catholic Sports Radio, including their president, Tim Triplett, who is also the head football coach at Holy Family Catholic High School in Minnesota. In the spirit of sharing is caring, paying it forward, here's what we're going to do. Nominate a coach who you think should win a copy of this book by emailing me his or her name and just a few details about them. Submissions will be accepted through 12 noon Eastern Time on November 17th, and that afternoon a winner will be drawn. So send those to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. And now, as always, we will close in prayer. And since our guest this week is from the world of coaching, this is going to be one that is for coaches. So, of course, let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, please help me understand that I can be more than a conqueror if only I put my trust in you. I praise your name for giving me all I need to be victorious in all areas of life. God, give me the knowledge to teach my players how to win on the battlefield of life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is @CathSportsRadio on all those. C-A-T-H, @CathSportsRadio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.